If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, as I'm sure you're well aware, today is, in fact, April Fool's Day, the unofficial holiday where all pranks are expected, and if done right, they're also accepted. Now, over the last few years, even corporate America has gotten in on the act. For example, Omaha Steaks, they announced that they're getting into the romance novel business. That's right. Let's see. They say that their first novel will be released under the title of Certified Tender. Crunch Bar. They announced that they're introducing a quieter Crunch Bar so that you can eat the bar, well, quietly. And Tic Tacs said they're offering Dr. Pepper-flavored Tic Tacs, which, frankly, does not sound like an April Fool's prank, but it is. But, look, that's all good-natured stuff. Unfortunately, there are less good-natured scams going on year-round. A few examples. A 67-year-old woman loses life savings in Keanu Reeves' imposter romance scam. 63-year-old woman thought she was in an online relationship with Enrique Iglesias.
What?
Yeah. Artificial intelligence Brad Pitt dupes woman out of $900,000. Then there's a guy who was duped by his actual love interest, which would be his wife. Yeah, she's 8 months pregnant, which is true. But the last two times that he picked her up from the doctor's appointments, he was unknowingly her getaway driver from the two different banks that she robbed. Good times. But like we said, there are cons and scams going on all the time, from swatting to text about unpaid tolls to the guy putting googly eyes on public art. But that's what we want to talk about today. In honor of April Fool's Day, our question, brought to you by our friends at Advanced Hair Restoration, is who was scammed, pranked, or bamboozled?
To be a part of the big show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like KISW on Facebook, follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send your emails to themensroom@KISW.com.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Hold the chills, away we go. Welcome to season 20, episode number 4,293. What a large and a charged program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeats. Taryn Daly, Steve Biggs from the Daily Biggs Morning Show will join us. Once again, we will sit and spin. And today, we deal with fools. Not only Steve Biggs and Taryn Daly from the Daily Biggs Morning Show, but 10 songs for April Fools.
Yeah.
Where we talk about the fools.
Just the fools.
The fools in music.
All right.
People sing about fools.
They do sing. There's a lot of songs about fools.
It's all about fools. 10 songs. for April Fool's on the way at 4:30. What else do we have for you today? Oh, yes. Don't forget that Thursday, Seattle Rock Day, our sixth annual celebration, as we celebrate Seattle's amazing music legacy for a full day and help our friends at SMASH, Seattle Musicians, access to sustainable health care. Now, you can donate now at KISW.com, but we'll have a bunch of auction items and try to get as much money as we can, as they provide medical, dental, mental health services, and more at either free or a very low cost.
Yeah.
And nothing but Seattle music all day long. So it's coming our way on Thursday. And today is April, the first April Fool's Day. You've known about this day your entire life. Sometimes you forget when April 1st is upon us. Either way, typically, if you get up and you read the news, you will find that someone is up to a prank or up to no good.
Of course.
Now, whether that's a company, whether that's an individual, it is yet to be seen, especially when they say, like, you know, McDonald's is going to sell a cheeseburger with no cheese for one day only.
Right.
Those type of things, you kind of go, all right, I get a good read on this. Pranks, for the most part, they are not meant to harm anyone. Occasionally, though, people do get harmed.
Right.
Depending on the level of pranks. Now, to be scammed, there's definitely a victim in that.
Yep.
But typically, that is your wallet or whatever you're doing there. To be bamboozled, that's just to have the wool pulled over your eyes from someone. And we have tons of examples of that today.
That was a little premature, but it was Sunday. I'm in the car with the kids. And, Salt and Pepper, Push It comes on, right? Oh, Push It. And both of them were kind of singing it, right? They know it from whatever they know it from.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned around and looked at them, and I said, you know that song is about taking an ass, right? And for one second, they just looked at me. And my daughter kind of smiled, and she's like, there's no way. Yep. I said, no, it is. It really is. My wife, of course, chimed in and said, Jesus Christ, no, that is not what the song's about. I said, then do you want to tell them what the song's about? And then it was silent in the car. My son kind of winked at me like, oh, I know what it's about. But follow up, yesterday, he's taking a dump. I walked by the bathroom door, and I started singing, oh, push it, push it. And I was told, quite frankly, go away.
Go away.
Yeah. But for one second, it made me happy.
Now, believe it or not, the history of April Fool's Day goes back hundreds of years.
Of course.
It's not just something that popped up like, you know, every day.
National Donut Day.
Now that we have one of those.
You know. What was yesterday? Hug a Medievalist Day or some crap like that. Yeah.
Okay. We go back in time for a couple times.
Did you? I didn't. You know what, Ted? I would have hugged a medievalist, but it turns out in the time of my coming to work, going home, in my time here, did not see a single medievalist to hug.
Not one?
I did.
Not one, man.
But I stopped at the turkey leg store on the way home.
Ooh, good call. Yes.
Yeah, there was a bunch of them.
Ye old turkey leg, yeah.
Yeah, they were just in there hanging out.
Turkey leg and corn dog. Mm-hmm.
Want to hold a sword? No, I just need a hug.
68 years ago, in 1957, the BBC announced that because of a mild winter in Switzerland, spaghetti trees were producing more spaghetti than normal, and they showed footage of people pulling strands of spaghetti out of tree branches. People immediately started calling in asking how to grow their own spaghetti tree. So the BBC told them, quote, place a sprig of spaghetti in a tin of tomato sauce and hope for the best. Some people did that. 40 years ago.
But years ago, Castle had just gotten a smoker, I believe it was. Anyway, he was trying to perfect brisket. And like most people trying to do brisket, the first two or three attempts failed. And we insisted that he planted the brisket in the backyard so he could grow a brisket tree. And I was stunned at the number of people that believe this.
Come on.
I swear to God, like, emails would come in and be like, seriously, man, he's growing a brisket tree? And so I just rolled with him and said, sure.
Yes. In 1985... Sports Illustrated claimed a rookie pitcher named Sid Finch. He's planning to play for the Mets. Ted, do you know this story?
No,
this is
great.
This is great.
They said he could throw 168 miles an hour and that he trained at a monastery in Tibet. I don't know if that helped sell more tickets to that game is the problem, but Mets fans went nuts. And the magazine was flooded with requests for more information on a guy who did not exist. So the Mets did that in 1985. Then there's the folks at Taco Bell. 29 years ago, in 1996, Taco Bell said that they had bought the Liberty Bell and were renaming it the Taco Liberty Bell.
I remember that.
And people got pissed.
Oh, people lost their minds.
Yes. Now, they're also have
that
been...
That seems realistic in this day and age.
Well, you'd be sponsored by. Right.
Yeah. There have been times when things have actually happened on April the 1st. And people thought that they were being pranked. Unfortunately, in these instances, they were not being pranked.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been real news that has actually broke on April 1st and was dismissed as an April Fool's Day prank. The murder of Marvin Gaye in 1984.
Happened on April 1st, or at least that's when it was reported.
Yeah. His father shot him in a dispute about something. The murder of Selena in 1995. The death of comedian Mitch Hedberg in 2005. And believe it or not, the cancellation of Guiding Light in 2009.
And people are saying, like, you're
being... Those were real.
Yeah, but they're like, you're being distasteful. But, and they're like, no, we're actually giving you news. Like, Marvin Gaye has, in fact, been murdered by his father.
The bigger problem is that Mitch Hedberg dying on April Fool's Day is a Mitch Hedberg joke. I would like to die on April Fool's Day. That way, nobody would believe that I'm actually dead.
Dead, exactly. Yeah.
And he did. That's crazy.
I think there's people that still think he's not dead.
You can die. There's somebody out there believes you're alive. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's start with a story about pranks. As our question, who was scam pranked or bamboozled? And this one gets a little gross and gets a little dark, and I think this guy obviously took it way over the line. A New Jersey police chief is under investigation and allegations that he created a so-called animal house-like atmosphere in his department. Five officers who have worked under Chief Robert Farley at the North Bergen Police Department filed notices to sue Farley for assault and harassment, alleging he engaged in pranks at the department, including defecating on the floor and in wastebaskets.
Damn!
Exposing himself. Shaving his body hair over people's property and food.
Jesus!
Using racial slurs. Jabbing an officer in the penis with a hypodermic needle. Forcing officers to do schoolwork for his child. Spiking the office coffee with drugs, including Viagra. And scraping fluids from his underwear onto people's seats in the chief's office, according to one officer.
Are those pranks at that point? Like, if someone stabs you in the penis with a needle, I'm like, I don't see that as a prank.
I think this is one time where I don't think racial slurs...
I don't think that's a prank.
April Fool's, my brother.
Of all that, stuff. Like, this
I don't normally say that.
Yeah, like I'm going to go, I'm not too worried about him being a little racist with all the other stuff he's doing.
April Fool's. We're good, right?
Oh, man. Is that game on?
He just walked out to me.
No.
What's up, Mike?
No.
Oh, April Fool's.
Miles and I think it's on.
I'm not racist. I swear. I just want to say
I'm
it.
I'm just kidding.
I just want to say it.
No, it's a joke. It's a joke. It's April Fool's.
April Fool's, man. Sorry.
That'd be a bold way, man.
Yeah, I know. What happened to you? It's a joke. The allegations also included practical jokes, including putting ink or raw eggs on doorknobs.
That's a prank.
Clogging toilets with paper. Microwaving hot sauce in a situation that created noxious fumes. Putting firecrackers under workers' chairs. And setting off car alarms. He is also accused of lashing out in anger at times, including allegedly pulling a TV monitor from a wall and smashing it. Smashing a plaque on someone's desk, and pulling a doorbell from a wall. The officer said that when he complained about the hypodermic needle incident, Farley told me, I don't know how to take a joke. The officers say that Farley retaliated against the officers who complained by assigning them to unfavorable shifts, denying them promotions, and sending sex toys to their homes. The township
this
denies.
This is the police chief.
That is correct.
Jesus Christ.
Well, he is. He was a police chief. Township denies the allegations. Says it has confidence in Farley.
What?
Been at his job since February 2024.
Wait, he's done all of this in a year.
Yes.
Jesus.
In order to avoid the appearance of a conflict of interest, some of the officers involved say the situation has been referred to the Attorney General's office.
Mm-hmm.
And that a state investigation is underway.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a lot going on there, for sure.
It's one thing to have an accusation. Then it's another thing to have 20 accusations. And then it's something entirely different to have 20 accusations, but they're all for different things.
That's correct. Ted, you brought up this scam the other day. Whiskey casks have become an increasingly popular investment in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
But experts warn that there are scammers galore in the industry. And an investigation found that at least three companies are being investigated for selling whiskey that was massively overpriced or non-existent. Some people were promised that the whiskey would soar in value as it aged, and they lost their life savings. Among them is a health worker, Jay Evans, 54, who sold her home in 2021 after learning that she had terminal cancer. She spent around $100,000 on seven casts after being promised lucrative returns from Whiskey Scotland, a company that later disappeared without a trace. She found out that five of the casks were worth far less than she had paid, and two never existed. Another dodgy whiskey broker is being run by a man who was jailed in 2019 for an $8 million rare earth metals investment scam. Kenny McDonald, a legitimate whiskey broker in Scotland, tells the BBC that there are good guys in the industry, some that are profiteering, and then you get the ones who are downright nasty. And they're selling someone a piece of paper for a cask that just never existed. Dang. They say the sharks are circling. They know there's blood. They can smell it. And unfortunately, in this particular case, the blood is whiskey. Last year, whiskey writer Felipe Schreiberg, co-founder of the Protect Your Cask anti-scam effort, told Drinks International that with more people eyeing casks as a long-term investment, scammers could cause a reputational car crash for the industry. The Scotch whiskey community relies on informal relationships and the assumption that whoever you're dealing with has integrity. But when you have people come in without integrity, decide there's money to be made through breaking the law on top of being a criminal, you are disrupting that industry and that community.
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe the last time I was scammed was on an Instagram ad for a piece of art that I wanted to get.
All right. What was the art?
It was, you know what? It was a wood-carved plaque where they do kind of like the geographical height of things.
Okay. Yeah, I got you.
Have you ever seen that? Like where they'll do a mountain range?
What's that? Topography?
Topography.
Yeah.
Topography.
But they do it in wood.
I like maps.
I don't know if they do lasers or whatever, but with the golf course, Chambers Bay, that I go play.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought that would be a cool thing to have.
Sure.
It's kind of painted in, so the green grass and all that stuff, and it looks pretty cool. It's three-dimensional and everything else.
Well, how much were they charging for this?
I paid $200 for that.
So you did pay the money?
Yes, I did.
And then what did you find out?
I found out that 4 years later, I still don't have it. I was never able to get back in touch with them. They did not respond to any emails. When I sent them an email, that email address would bounce back.
Oh, what do you know?
And I'm past the point of being able to go to my bank and say, hey, fraud.
Yeah, the money's gone.
You waited 4 years. I mean, we barely have records of this transaction. Sure, they do, but at the same point in time, to catch that person and to close that transaction down, they needed some time. But I just assumed it was in production and would eventually be
sure.
on its way.
I mean, that's one way you buy more time. Just like, hey, man, we make these from scratch. It takes this long. I got out of the shower this morning. There's a text on my phone. And I know the tech scams are huge, you know, whether it's you didn't pay your toll or some weird outstanding balance. But this one says, hey, man, somebody broke into your Apple Pay. They tried to make an unauthorized payment. Hit us back at this if this is not the case. And my first thought is, and look, I'm very much a caveman. And people make fun of me for it. But I will say one of the beauties of being a caveman and being very analog is it's hard to scam me because I'm like, I don't have Apple Pay. I know a ton of people have Apple Pay. I know a ton of people have PayPal, Venmo, you name it, right? I get it. I understand it's convenient. I have none of that. I am very much I'm going to give you cash kind of person. The worst thing that would happen to me is that you give me counterfeit bills back. But it's like, you can't get me on this. I have nothing. Yep. I have basically a zero tech footprint because I just don't understand it. And deep down, I don't care. But I get all kinds of scam things on my phone, as most people do. You know, you didn't do this, or you owe us for that. And I'm like, this is impossible. And I understand what they're doing. You hedge your bets on the percentage. Most normal people probably have a Facebook page or something like that. I don't. So when I got the text about a year ago, hey, man, somebody hacked your Facebook page. You can get it out of it. Right. I don't. I'm like, well, I don't do Facebook. Somebody hacked this other social media. I don't do it, man.
I was on Instagram, got hacked, can't get back in, so I've been off of it for months just because I cannot get my account back. So I'm like, the hell with it. I'm not gonna fight you to reinstate my account.
Nah, it ain't worth it.
Every time they email me back, well, we need this more information. I'm like, this sounds like a scam now.
Actually, I did get a legitimate text from Google, and I knew this was coming because they announced it, I think, last year. But they said, we terminated your Gmail account. It has been inactive for 5 years. I was like, right, because when I got my new phone, I told you I don't want one. But the way they do the phone thing, I don't know if they still do it, but it's like, no. You get this Gmail account just because you have the phone. I was like, cool. I'm never going to use it. I don't use it. I'm not going to use it. And I want to say last year they said, look, they're going to go through and start auditing it. And if there's been no activity, we're just going to cancel the account. So I was actually relieved when I got that. And I knew it wasn't a scam. I'm like, Thank you. I didn't want it. I told you I don't freaking want it.
You didn't open up
it.
That email. Probably tons of people reaching out to you. Hadn't talked to you in years.
Maybe. You don't know, care.
Trying to find out.
Thousands of emails were in there because I would still get alerts on my phone like, hey, you have a new email on Google. But it got to the point where it's like you have like 5,300 unread messages. I'm like, gonna stay that way, yeah. Man.
Man, you want to prank someone, don't do it on April 1st.
That is the worst time
to do it. Hey, look, if you want to have a good time, take a day like Father's Day and start emailing your buddies.
Yeah.
From a burner account. Like, hey, I got something to tell you. You remember when we met and I'll know where they've been if they've been there. Yeah, well, would you like to meet your son and two daughters?
And also, don't propose April 1st.
Too deep.
Don't propose on April 1st. They're not going to believe it.
Exactly. Will you marry me?
Even if you have the ring, to be like, it's not a real diamond. It's like, right. I swear to God, it is.
And don't say you're having a kid if you're not. Today, Father's Day. I just know there's a lot of people that struggle having kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who was scam, pranked, or bamboozled? 206-803-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Missed out the announcement yesterday. Men's Room 20th Anniversary World Tour stop number 3 is on. We will see you at Muckleshoot Casino with the reunited new originals.
Saturday, right.
April 12th, an absolutely free show at 10 o'clock. Of course, we will have the Men's Room IPA in the bright yellow can there, the 20th anniversary lager from Black Raven, Men's Room beer brats from Uli's Famous Sausage, the roasted red salsa from San Juan Salsa Company, all benefiting our friends at the Fisher House. It is a free show. It is a free concert. I cannot believe you guys actually patched things up, even though they told you to stop using the name of the band as well.
Yeah, that's why I went out as Thrill in the older originals.
For a long time.
Yeah. But you know, like anything, man, they offer us a big, fat, 8-figure contract.
And you're back.
And we're back, man. Right. It was the money.
Come drink with us for a free show and good times as we say cheers to 20 years. All the details at KISW.com.
By the way, I'm curious to see how our drummer, Ryan Castle, right, he agreed to terms of the contract and we sat down with the lawyer, said, I will reunite with these guys. And then he did the one thing we'd asked him not to do. And he broke his toe last night.
Wow.
Is there a caste system for bands?
No.
Do all lead singers get paid more? Is the guitarist the pay gets paid more?
It depends who's
in the bottom of the boat is what I'm asking.
Depends how the band gets together.
Okay.
All right. So if you're a 5-piece band and you're the original band, 20% for all of them, right? But 10 years into the band, say, I don't know, the rhythm guitarist leaves. Well, whoever replaces him, he ain't getting 20%. Right.
I'm going to guess Ted and Mike, you guys probably get paid the least because you only do like one song. You know what I mean?
Well, we offered them more, but they walked out of the contract negotiations. They said, look, we'll do one, but they wanted a certain amount. I'm not trying to call it your business acumen, but I'm just saying, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you guys decided.
Ted gets paid by the song, right?
So by the note, by the beat.
By the beat and the song.
Unfortunately, I don't have that many lyrics this time.
Are you doing tequila from the champs?
We tried to put that in there, but he's like, look, you're trying to dupe me.
It's going
to
be a great day. If you're in Auburn on Saturday, April 12th, join us starting at 2 o'clock for a free show and a little party there as we say cheers to 20 years. Our question, who was scammed, pranked, or bamboozled? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Josh. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So years ago, my kid sister and I were kind of going back and forth pranking each other. I'm 9 years older than her. And while she was on vacation, her and my ex-stepdad went to Hawaii for vacation. And he wanted me to take care of his house while he was gone. So I had a house key to his place. and I filled her entire bedroom with balloons, like wall to wall, floor to ceiling. Cost me like $400. Took me a lot of man hours to do so. I solicited the help of her friend. My friend and I went out there. First couple hundred, we did with our lungs, and then we're like, no, this is not going to work.
Right. So did you get a tank?
Yeah, well, I'm a contractor, so yeah, I've got an air compressor.
Okay,
like a helium tank.
Yeah.
So I did buy a helium tank, so that way some of them would float. But, I mean, man, it cost me like $400. It was like 3,000 balloons. And in the end, like, I was filling them through, like, the crack of the door. Like, it was wall-to-wall, floor-to-ceiling. If you were to bet me $20, if I could get one more balloon in that room... There's no way I could have. Like, it was...
How difficult was it for just to even open the door? Because the door opens inward.
Right.
On a bedroom. So how...
So I got a video. And so I was hiding, like, in her father's room, getting a video through the crack of his door. I was hiding behind his door. And so she's, like, opening the door and has a hard time even opening the door. So she's, like, pushing balloons out of the way. She has to pull balloons out into the hallway in order to even just get into her room. And it's just, you know, of course, before school, she had to, you know, they got in, I don't know, early in the morning or something.
Is she laughing about this?
Is there any significance to the balloons other than the fact that you're pranking her with balloons? I mean, was there any underlying thing there?
I tried to pick a bunch of, like, purple ones because purple's her favorite color. I got to tell you, it was, like, 3 or 4 trips to Party City just because I kept thinking that I had enough, and then just as the project was going, I just still needed more.
Now, do the people at Party City, not that you know what anyone's going to do with balloons, but do they start giving you, like, a suspicious look? Like, look, dude, why do you need this many balloons?
I don't think so.
Was she happy to see them? I mean, obviously it's a prank, but that's a very harmless prank. I mean, I think I'd laugh my ass off if I opened my front door and just millions of balloons came pouring out.
She was. Her being a teenager at the time, I mean, phone came out right away to get a video of it. And she's getting a video of just, like, walking into her room. She jumps on her bed. And, I mean, I had to, like, take stuff off of her dresser because I was worried that, you know, things were going to get knocked over.
Right.
So I stashed a bunch of stuff under her bed. And, I mean, even under her nightstand, there were balloons. Closet was full of balloons.
Well, there's no statute of limitations on that kind of stuff. So, right. You know, has she plotted? Well, did she get you back, or is she still plotting?
So she has gotten me a couple of times. I can't remember if it was before this incident or not, but when I was a bachelor, I used to keep my sugar for my coffee in one of those just empty coffee mate containers, those, like, plastic containers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all right. Apparently she swapped my sugar and my salt. And so, I mean, I was in a rush. I filled up my coffee cup, threw a bunch of sugar in there, got to work, and just drank it. And it was just great salt.
Yeah, that would be awful.
That is, I didn't realize she switched. I thought she just did the salt. Until, like, she was telling her friends about it, like, a month later, and she said, oh, yeah, I swapped them. And I go, well, wait, no, you didn't. She goes, yeah, no, there's sugar in your salt container. I had no idea that I was putting sugar on my food.
Noticed that you're putting sugar in place of salt.
No. And then she also, another good one she did is she unscrewed all of my light bulbs just until they would turn off.
Oh, my.
So me being a contractor, I'm thinking, oh, maybe the house was wired. Like, all of the lights are out, but the outlets are working. So I'm checking breakers. I'm replacing bulbs. And the very last bulb I went to replace, I barely touched it, and then it turned on. So then I just screwed it in, and it turned on. And then I fished all those other bulbs out of the garbage can, and turns out they all work.
How much time did that take you? Because like you said, you're a contractor, so naturally your first thought is that there's something wrong. Not even to check the bulb.
I mean, it was probably an hour or so. You know, checking the breaker, and, you know, check in with my you know, multimeter that there's power to the actual fixture. And then by the time you take the housings down, you know, it was. Yeah.
There used to be a...
That makes me glad that I don't know how to work with electricity.
There used to be a place called Gene's Pizza. Gene's Pizza was open late, and from midnight till 2 or however long they were open, they only sold slices. So you couldn't get a whole pizza to take home, but they give you like 2 or 3 slices and some aluminum foil or a small box, whatever the deal is.
Yeah.
Problem with that, so it was $1.50 for cheese. It was $2 for pepperoni.
That's a deal, man.
So you need something in your stomach, man, just to kind of fill you up. It was on the way home. You stopped at Gene's Pizza. The problem with that place is it was packed with college kids. So it wasn't the fact that it just was a little bit of a wait.
Yeah.
You could always find a booth in there because most people just grabbed a slice and took off.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's three or four of us. We put in a big order or whatever. We go to the table. My buddy Craig, man, he loved Red Hot Pepper Flakes. And for whatever reason, he and my other roommate, Brett, they had an ongoing prank feud with each other. Dumping buckets of cold water on each other in the shower.
Yeah.
Flushing the toilets while you're taking a shower. Turning the sink on, brushing your teeth. Shaving, using the hot water. That kind of thing where the person is in the shower. But you're just...
cold water in the shower.
Flushing the toilet. You know, scrubbing your face with warm water. Yeah. So these two always had a thing. And man... I don't remember what just set him off, but Brett knew that Craig liked the Red Hot Flakes, so he unscrews the lid to just make it so that it's basically sitting on there.
Oh, yeah.
It takes about 10 to 15 minutes to get these two pieces of pizza, so it's more about the weight and the fact that you're hungry. Craig takes this thing, man, and red pepper flakes go they're on my lap, bouncing off of the table. Just everything is covered in red pepper flakes because he unscrewed the cap.
Yeah.
Craig lost his S. I mean, he almost flipped the table over. He was so pissed off. So he took Brett's pizza and grabbed it and crumbled it up, threw it in the trash, stood up, marched the hell out just because he unscrewed the thing.
I mean, we used to do that. When we were younger, we used to do it at the local Pizza Hut. We were probably 12 years old. We'd ride our bikes up, you know, during the summer, whatever. And we would always do that. All of it. The Parmesan, the oregano, the red pepper flakes. And it's one of those pranks where you didn't see it happen, but you know it's going to, and we're satisfied with that. Mm-hmm. No big deal. And my parents, before school starts again, we're going to go to Pizza Hut. I don't give it a thought. I'm happy to be there. Obviously, I've done something right for them to take me. And the waitress walks over, and all she said is, hey, don't unscrew the tops to all the different condiment things again. That's all she said. The death stare I got from my parents. And I thought that was a brilliant move on her part. Right? She didn't scold me. She just said, hey, don't do it this time. But the look they gave me, it was so obvious. And it was just a very awkward kind of dinner after that. But, and I've said this before, but I used to work at a pizza place. It sounds like the one that you're talking about. We're in a place in Baltimore called Fells Point. It's kind of like Pioneer Square. And we stayed open until 3. Because the idea was all the bars close at 2. Everyone's young. They are hammered. They want pizza. Same thing. You got to wait forever.
Like every college town, every bar district has
you're
gonna
have pizza. Oh, yeah. As soon as the pizza came out of the oven, they would slice it, and they had people waiting. It was just one after the other.
And that's all we did. What we did slices, and we would do a whole pie if that's what you wanted. And same thing. We had tables, but people would wait, and we just got bum-rushed. 2:00 in the morning every night. We knew it was coming, whatever. So where the kitchen was, we could see the front door. We knew who had ordered and who was waiting and all that. And most people were cool. And these two dudes walk in. And they're giving the owner, who also works the cashier, they're giving her grief. They lie to her and say, hey, man, we've been waiting for 45 minutes for our extra large pepperoni and sausage pizza, blah, blah, blah. She's apologetic, right? Because she's hammered. She's just busy. She's in the weeds. So she kind of yells back at us like, hey, these guys have been waiting, man. You know, you got to get the pizza. And we see them like high-fiving and crap in the back. So it's me and this guy who I called Squirrel. And to this day, I couldn't tell you his real name. So we both look at each other like, these mother... Because, well, we're getting yelled at by the owner. They're lying their ass off. So we're like, okay, cool. So we start tossing the pizza. And at this point, they're not paying attention because they're just so proud of themselves. So if you looked at the pizza when it was done, yes, it had sausage and pepperoni and cheese and sauce. And under that, it had anchovies and black olives and about half a box of kosher salt. Right? We're just like, oh, yeah, we're like F these guys, man. So we make the pizza, we cook it, we box it. And keep in mind, because they'd been, quote unquote, waiting for 45 minutes, they got it on the house. So they're super smug, super proud, but they roll out. They're not dumb enough to stay in the business. We're like, whatever. We don't worry about it. We close the restaurant. The last thing we have to do, take out the trash and all this kind of crap. So we go out the door, and directly outside of the door, well, there's a tree on the corner of the sidewalk. Next to the tree, there's a pizza box. The box is open. One slice has been taken out of this pizza box. Next to the box with one slice of pizza taken from the pizza box is a slice of pizza that has a single bite taken out of it. Next to the piece of pizza that has a single bite taken out of it is a partially chewed wad of pizza that had clearly been spit on the ground, man. And we were like, yeah, you sons of bitches. We got them. And that they're not going to come back in and complain. It's just one of those. We got you, man.
Yeah, Dewey Beach, Delaware. We would go to Mama Maria's. It was the same thing, right? Like,
I don't know if the pizza was good. I think it was good. But that's specifically because they have a really early last call in Delaware. It's like 12 or 12:30.
Yeah.
And that place stayed open until, same thing. But you went there afterwards. You could order a whole pie.
Mm-hmm.
It was rare. Like, if somebody showed back up to your apartment or your whatever place you were renting with a whole pie, you're like, holy cow. But same thing, man. I don't know how they did it, but they knew what you ordered. Because I had friends go in there and try to scam them. They were just like, F you, get out.
You know, no. Just the way it's, you know who's there. You're always very hyper aware of it. It's just one of those things. If you're in the kitchen and you're looking, you can see the dining room. You know what's going on. So those guys, I will say, seeing a half-chewed slice of pizza is one of the most beautiful visuals I've seen in my life. It just brought me so much satisfaction.
Who was scammed, pranked, or bamboozled? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jesse. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right. So I got some pretty good prank stories, but this one is actually one that my mom did.
All right.
All right. So my mom is a stand-up comedian down in L.A. right now. But before that, she was a strip club DJ in Tacoma for like 13 years. But before that, she was a radio DJ in Whidbey Island.
Huh.
And, yeah.
That's quite a resume. It is. What's your mom's name, by the way, so we can Google her comedic prowess down in L.A.?
DJ Sweet Cheeks.
Her name's Susan Cupcake Jones.
Cupcake Jones. Okay.
All right.
So April Fool's comes around, and she's got a lot of really good radio stories, like doing on-air ads for Culking, and you know, getting the cue wrong when the line's supposed to be the Culk of the future.
Right.
All right. So April Fool's comes around, and she gets the bright idea to do an Orson Welles kind of a deal. Remember War of the Worlds?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was all a radio show, you know? And, like, people actually believed that when it was going on, people that tuned in late.
Oh, yeah. It's legendary.
We get warned about it every year.
It changed the roles of what's able to be broadcast.
We're not even kidding. Like, so right before April Fool's, just so you know, if you're working radio, and this is any jock working on any station, whatever, you get a reminder from whatever corporation you work for, like, hey, if you do an April Fool's joke, it cannot be something that brings harm or creates panic, and they still, to this day, cite War of the Worlds.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, so flashback to 1988, and I'm about 1 year old, maybe, and she's still on the radio, and she gets the idea to tell everybody that Whidbey Island is sinking at an alarming rate. And that the radio station's news van will be by to pick up everybody's valuables that they place on the side of the road. And she signs off by saying, all right, I have to go. My booth is flooding with water, and then does, like, drowning sounds. And she actually got an FCC violation for the rule that you're citing right there.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was an effect then, but, like, I'm listening to you say this. I'm like, if we did that and tried to convince you that this is true, we would be in so much trouble.
Any type of, even if you destroy property, anything. So if we were to say, like, look, we planted, I don't know, front row and a backstage pass to whatever band you want to see in this park in Seattle, and it's by the tree, people would go out there with shovels and start digging up in the ground. Like a treasure map, and you can't, that's destruction of property.
Yeah, you can't do it.
So there's all these different things that fall under that umbrella of, like, look, man, just don't mess with
just
people.
Just don't.
To the point where they react in a way that wouldn't be good.
Well, somebody texted in earlier that, I guess, when Almost Live was on, they did a prank where they said the Space Needle tipped over. But people believed it and started flooding 911 with calls. And I don't know the final result, but they just said it wasn't good.
Huh.
Yeah. the space needle tipped over.
I bet those guys.
The people bought into it hook, line, and sinker, man. You know, calling 911. 911's like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, and I'm sure they got cited for something because that's what happens.
Yep. Who was scammed, pranked, or bamboozled? 206-803-ROCK.